no dolly. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, circumstances and things that surround us, they come to make you stronger. Never look at the situations and bow your head. Sometimes situations require that you stand. You know, yesterday, I went to vote. I cast my vote. Said, man, there's problem. Some people say it's my franchise. Is it my franchise? My vote. Because yesterday I was just hearing people say they are denying people their franchise. I said, the franchise I know is good. And I think they got it from the fact that you are disenfranchised. Big problem. So in the afternoon, I kept reading the regulation and kept reading it. And I knew that at 2:30 voting will stop, you know. And then at that point, you start counting. So at 2 o'clock, I went back to my polling unit. I saw that they had stopped voting and everybody was just waiting for 2:30. So I went back home. And then at 2:30, I went back there and I started counting. So when I was leaving, my son said, what's your own? Why are you going to count? Hallelujah. He said, what's your own? I said, guy, if you will have to understand the way things work, you have to be in the midst of it. That's one. So when you sit back and you allow everybody to do things, there'll be a problem. You'll be the first person to complain that things are not done properly. Meanwhile, you were not there. So one of the things that happened was while we were on the queue, my wife and I were on the queue, we were doing lovey-lovey. That's when we celebrated our own Valentine. We were in the queue, and we were gisting. And then people will come and say different things about how the process should work. I was like, is it not the same thing that we are reading, you know? So you have to understand the way things work so that you can influence this better. So at the point, I decided to marshal everybody that was on the queue so that we can do things properly. I'm saying this, I don't know what I'm saying it for. Well, sometimes in my working career, as it's going, I found myself with a unit. And in that unit, in quotes, we don't have a leader. In quotes. So we report to someone. So like 5 of us report to someone. And so everybody just reports to someone. So all of us are on this level. Like you draw a family tree, all of us are ladies. And there's apparently nobody that. So one day, I looked at everything. I said, these 4, I can marshal them now. I don't need... So I took up that responsibility. I needed somebody to look up to. I looked at it and said, how can we all be one man? And then when we need to, I said, it won't happen. So they call me class captain because there's no portfolio for me in the book or the office. They call me class captain. So I just go there. I said, guys, this is how you're going to do this thing. And it has to be like that. That's how I said, it has to be like that. There's no argument. So why am I saying like that? Because somebody must take charge. And then gradually, the person will report to will just say, Muiwa, what are you guys doing? I just started laughing. Because if I had not taken up that thing, they would never be calling me. And then sometimes we call and say, so who's going to do this out of all of you? I said, don't worry, I'll get one of us to do it. Amen. If you think there's something to be changed, you change it. Hallelujah. When you keep waiting, that the way the people do things yourself, they are killing my morale. You too, boost your morale by boosting everybody. Amen. You have what it takes. Everybody has what it takes to lead people. If you need people to ginger you, inside you, you can ginger yourself from inside on the outside. Hallelujah. And that's how I've worked everywhere I work. Even when they say you are reporting to Mr. Joe, you are saying, okay, no problem. So when Mr. Joe gives me assignment, I take it up. When she doesn't give me assignment, I find assignment to give myself. Hallelujah. Because tomorrow you say, this person didn't give me anything to do, so that's why you are sleeping. No. You need to learn to wake up from the inside. Arise, shine. Hallelujah. That is it. Nobody is supposed to be giving you push. You have to arise on this side and shine. Amen. You know, this morning I was going to talk about the young rich ruler, and I hope that you have enough time to talk about him. And that song Mr. Sajiri sang was instructive, was divine. I would have sung that song when I took the mic. Since he sang it, I knew God has taken that. Amen. Things are turning around. Hallelujah. You know, yesterday when we were watching TV, so I just decided that I won't follow social media because you just run mad, you do social media thing. So I decided to watch TV. And then they were interviewing some people, and they said they are in diaspora. And when I went back to when we went back to count, one more saying, if these things don't happen, we will call the people from the West. I said, the people from the West, they cannot like us more than all of us that are here. Are you getting me? The people outside this country. I said, but why is it so difficult for all of us to learn? In 1993, we saw it. Is it too far? How many years in 1993? 30 years. Is it too far away for us to have forgotten that nobody from the West can? And they said there are some Nigerians in diaspora. I said, even the ones in diaspora cannot love us more than the ones that are here. They are the ones that will be happy when the dollar goes to 1,000 naira. Abi? So if they normally send you $100, they will reduce it to 50. Amen. What I'm saying is, you have to take charge of your life. And we have to take charge of our life. Hallelujah. If you think that you need somebody to help you, the only person you need to help you is God. God will then show you the right things for you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So if my environment is dulling, I make it sharp. Hallelujah. The rich young ruler, Matthew chapter 19. I'm going to read the New King James Version from verses 16 to 29. It says, now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not, it says, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Hallelujah. And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said to him, to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who have left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. So there was a young man looking at his life and looking at the fact, looking at Jesus and saying to him, what more can I do? Amen. And Jesus said, have you kept the commandments and all that? And the guy was like, I've done that since my youth. And that's interesting. Amen. But when Jesus told him and said, okay, so go give everything you have and give to the poor, the Bible records that he turned away. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Yeah, so Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And then he heard it, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Some commentaries say that in the original translation, the young man was grieved. And they said that it's the same word that was used for his grief, that the same word that was used when Christ looked at, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and saw that it's going to be a time that he was going to be separated from God, and he was grieved as well. Okay? So it is that for the man, his separation from his possessions is similar to Christ being separated from God. Hallelujah. So the guy had that kind of grieving because he was going to be separated from his possessions. And for Christ, his grieving was that he would be separated from his very source. Hallelujah. So you can look at it, that the guy looks at it and says, this is everything that is called me, that this man is saying, I should just let go. Amen. You know, people are like that. A lot of people, they brag in the things that they have in their possession. And so if we take it away from them, it becomes a problem. They just lose it. They're neither here nor there, you know. And it just looks like, you'll be like, okay, it's just this thing. You will say it's just this thing that has been taken away. But that person has so much attachment to it that he cannot just imagine life without it. Hallelujah. Now, this is the same person that says that he has been keeping the commandments. And if you do keep the commandments, hallelujah, you're supposed to have enacted a relationship with God to show you that all that you are and all that you ever be, he is the source of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Before we read that, look what Jesus told him. He said, if you want to be perfect, so meaning that he's keeping the commandments has not solved this problem. Hallelujah. He's just okay with keeping the commandments. That's what Christ was saying. He said, if you want to be perfect, okay, let's leave every other thing he said in between. He says, if you want to be perfect, he now says at the end, come, follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. So he's saying that there is a tendency of, so everything he said, if you want to be perfect, he said, go through these things away, come follow me. Meaning that guy's attraction or his concentration has been on the things that he possesses. Amen. So he's saying, take away the distractions. We don't need to be rich in quotes like this guy, because they called him a rich young ruler. So I guess he had a great amount of possessions. But it doesn't have to be that you have a great amount of possessions. It could just be that you are so passionate about one thing that it takes your attention away from the main thing, which is Christ. And Christ said, you know what? If you want to be perfect, come follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. So the simple logic is that you should not walk the surface of this life without following him. Hallelujah. now following him, if you look at it in physical terms, well, don't even look at it in physical terms. Let's just look at what is happening now. So people have followers. Some of them they've never seen before. Hallelujah. Some of them they don't even know. They will never know. But they are followers. What makes them followers? You will adhere or align with the vision. Amen. You align and you begin to look at things from their perspective, from the perspective of whoever you are following. I remember when we were in school, I was in a fellowship. And so it's the way the pastor cuts his head that we cut here. Because you are following. For me, I cannot follow Satan that one. I cannot. Hallelujah. Amen. That's because that's so if you see us in school then, you can tell that these are the people that go to this fellowship. Amen. That's the power of influence. Okay, so everybody, you just want to be like the person that you are following. Amen. What Christ is telling this guy here, follow me. He's not walking behind me, that is follow me. Follow me means that in everything that I do, you take a cue from it and you do things the way I do them. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes if you say follow me, it's not every when you are walking or you are going in a crowd, okay, I tell everybody that I'm with. We just file in one line. So the person, you follow the person in front so that all of us are in one line so that nobody misses the way. Hallelujah. Or nobody, we miss no one on the way. Because the person in front might just miss the way. But at least, if you are five, all the five of us are moving in the same direction. And you can easily say, guys, you are making a mistake. Let's move this way. Hallelujah. You can't walk life being distracted from your source. It says, if you will be perfect, then follow me. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, he says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Hallelujah. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. The rich young ruler was quick to boast about him keeping the commandments. I've done this from my youth. That's what he said. And it looked to him that what he had done from his youth, keeping the commandments, but was sustained him. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Hallelujah. So when we are saved by faith, it's not by works. Hallelujah. It's not by the things we did or by the things we punish ourselves. You know, sometimes we do a lot of religious things. Not by those things. It's by grace. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Amen. My emphasis here is that you have a tendency to look and say, hey, the grace is for the people that have been saved. No. It says the grace of God has appeared to all men. Hallelujah. And when that grace appeared, it came to teach. Note, when the grace appeared, it came with our ability to teach us how to do the right things. Hallelujah. If you look at it, teaching if I teach you something, if I teach everybody, so, amen. When we were growing up, I had students. I was a teacher in my own way. I had students that would come in the evening and I would teach them. And I saw that they all had different capacities. So even as I'm teaching five of them at the same time, they were not all getting it. Hallelujah. Some will get it and some will not. So I broke them up so that I would do some minutes with the ones that get it and then concentrate what I was teaching. Hallelujah. Now it was left to the people that have been taught to imbibe, assimilate what has been taught. It says the grace of God has appeared to all men. So God is not, you know, the Bible talks that it's God that shows mercy. So God did not segregate, he did not segregate his message, showing his mercy to a particular set of people. He says it has appeared to all men. All men now have that responsibility that as Jesus has appeared, he should be able to understand and see the things that are right. He says here that in the same title, say, for the grace of God that brings salvation. So that grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Hallelujah. Amen. He's teaching us that you denying ungodliness and what? And worldly lust, we should live soberly. That grace that brings salvation, that's what he's teaching. And then some people decide that is not for them. It's a decision. Everywhere everyone has found himself today is a place, is a decision that he made some time back. If some people decide not to be saved, they can't be. The grace has appeared. They have chosen not to be sober. Hallelujah. They have chosen worldly lust. It's a choice thing. Because immediately you decide and you choose not to follow worldly lust and not to follow ungodly things, you begin to see that grace come to bear. Hallelujah. Because that grace came to teach you to abandon those things. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, in his being so compassionate, has made this available to everybody. But not everybody will tap into it. Hallelujah. And not everybody will appreciate it. Amen. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Hallelujah. Which was what Christ was showing to the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19. I was saying that, look, oh, okay, so you can say there's justification, you have kept the law, you have kept everything, fine, all well and good. But that is not enough for your justification. It says that it has to be that you have faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, follow me. You follow people that you have faith in. Amen. If you do not have faith in anyone, it's difficult for you to follow him. So even if you are gathered and you are in the midst of that, you are in the circle of that person, because you are in the circle doesn't mean you are following him. Because you don't believe in the things that he believes in. You don't share the same values that the person values. Hallelujah. But if you have faith in him, then you value him. Follow me, that Christ told the young ruler, was beyond just walking after me. It was beyond just dumping everything you have. He was telling him, you have to have faith in me. And it's evident. When you look at what he continued to say to the disciples, he says in so when he told them that, I say to you that it's hard, that's verse 23, I say to you that it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, of heaven, sorry. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Then when his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. But if you read the Message translation, that verse 26 says, Jesus looked hard at them and said, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Hallelujah. He says, no chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. And that brings me also to the point that when we think that we have done things without God, we actually have done nothing. Amen. So there are some results that we call pseudo results. You know what is pseudo? You did the biology. You know amoeba? You know amoeba? Tell me one characteristic of amoeba. Yeah? What kind of feet does he have? What kind of feet does he have? Yes. So if you were like me when I was growing up, I would have known that he must have a pseudo feet. Like the Hydra. Pseudo. Fake. So he moves. Hallelujah. Amen. Pseudo. Right. I was taught that with integrated science textbook, Stan, 1983. Hallelujah. I can still see it in my head. That's what I'm telling you. And I'm talking to Blessing because I know she's a teacher. So it's pseudo. And what is pseudo is that you are getting results. You think that this is the result. Amen. But there is a better result that you could have gotten. Amen. You know, sometimes I sit down and be like, oh my God, I just wish that I can just buy everybody everything that they need. When I was growing up, I just wake up one day and say, I just buy everything. This is my mom that's always complaining. I just buy her this one, buy her that one, buy her. Amen. And then even now that I am at this age, sometimes I sit down. I say, why would somebody have a need? And I cannot say, steak is soft. I say, God bless me so that I can say, steak, it is soft. Hallelujah. So meaning that there is more beyond where you are, especially when you are not doing it with God. It's pseudo. To you is good. But probably God wants you to be philanthropic. Amen. But all you are doing is just in your own circle and satisfying your own needs. And you are like, okay, I'm done. I'm fine. Amen. Christ told this guy, follow me. And said, it's faith in him that you are justified. Then he was talking to his disciples, says, you know what, for a rich man it's difficult, so this eye of the needle, I don't want to go into it. Anyhow you want to describe it, whether it's a gate, a small gate, that a camel needs to pass through in Jerusalem, and then he has to offload, okay, because there are different versions, or his eye of a needle that you look at, what is important is that when people rely so much on the things that they have, they cannot move on. Hallelujah. So that gate I'm talking about, it says that if a camel wants to pass through it, you need to offload that camel. Okay? Offload everything that he has. And then the camel has to come almost practically to his knee. And then he crawls through that gate. And then after that, you go and load the camel and the journey continues. That's what some people say the eye of the needle is. And Christ is saying that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Meaning that if a rich man, in quote, I'm telling you, he's in quote, is unable to take off everything that makes him rich, it's going to be difficult for him to enter God's kingdom. Hallelujah. So if you look at richness in terms of money, then you have to forget that money and follow God. You have to detach yourself from it. If every time you want to just set auto debit on your account, I say whatever money is entering, just be going anywhere you want it to go. You have to detach yourself from it so that your faith will not be in that possession you have. Your faith will be in Christ. He said, follow me. And he was talking to his disciples, and he kept on talking to his disciples. He said, okay, the guys now said, okay. what did they say to him? Peter now said in verse 27, I said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Hallelujah. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Hallelujah. So he's telling them that there's a reward. But you know the thing, it looked like Peter is asking, so Peter is saying that, okay, if you are saying this guy should follow you, and you are saying that it will be difficult for rich men to enter the kingdom, except, so what is now in it for us that we that have followed you? Amen. Amen. So they have believed in him, they had faith in him, and they were working with him with no strings attached. Hallelujah. With no strings attached. You know, some people that when you receive their call, you know that this call, this call is laden with requests. So I see the calls and I just smile. My wife will say, why are you not picking? I say, I know what this person wants to say. That's what I tell her. I say, I know what this person wants to say, and I don't want to answer now. And then the person calls again, say, just speak it to me, just be something else. I say, okay, this is what this person is going to say. Oh, yeah, let's see. And then I pick, and lo and behold, I'm right. Because that's some people that just, that's just what they do. But for these disciples, when they were following him, leaving, he just told them, I will make you fishers of men. And then follow me. Hallelujah. No strings attached. So they were doing everything with all dedication and with all their might. Okay? Right until this point, Peter said, so what is in it for us that has left everything? Your life has to be fashioned after this model. That when you follow him, it is for him. Because when you have faith in anybody, when you have faith in anybody, whatever that person decides to reward you with, you are fine with it. That's what it is. And if the person does not reward you, you are fine with it as well. Because you are getting something from the values that you are following. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So when many material things don't come, I'm not bothered. Amen. Because that godly life that I need, or whatever thing I need to make my life better, I'm picking from whoever I'm following. And more so when he's in Christ Jesus, you cannot miss it. And as he spoke to his disciples, he said that, assuredly, those that have left everything will receive a hundredfold, and then they will inherit eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. He didn't say a hundredfold in heaven. No. Don't miss it. He didn't say a hundredfold in heaven. He said they will receive a hundredfold, and then they will receive eternal life. So there are two things. You join two different things with a conjunction. Hallelujah. But the ultimate that you should look at, and which is what will drive you, because if you don't see things happening, you won't question them, is that irrespective, I understand that this is the Son of God, and understand that in him is my salvation. And I do, and I follow him, do the things that he has said. Automatically, things happen for you because you are following him. And when you follow him, you follow instructions. You do his will. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, when we were reading the Bible this morning, Numbers, and looking at those men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, God told Moses to calm down. Don't forget, these people are against me. Moses was following God. Even in the face of adversity, Moses was still saying, he still told Aaron that go and carry the censer for incense, burn it, so that, because Lord's anger is risen against these people, and he didn't want them to be destroyed. Amen. He wasn't looking out for himself. That's when you follow someone, you look at it and say, this person I'm following, this is the way, this is the thing he's about to do. And then he's telling Aaron, do this and do that. Because of his love for the people. Amen. When you follow someone, you are able to tell in any situation what that person will do or how that person will react. More often than not. He says that you will receive, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mother or wife or of lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. The question is, how do you leave mother, sister, father, brother, and everybody and follow him? You are detaching yourself from these emotional things. Hallelujah. Because your views may be different. When you begin to follow Christ, your views will be different. You will see things differently. And you believe in different things. That's just the truth. Except you do yourself that favor of bringing them to follow Christ. Amen. If you have plenty of lands, and you sell, and you hold on to them, and when you begin to follow Christ, you give it out, and they begin to give you more lands, you begin to wonder. That's what happens. When you give it away. Amen. You have to learn to give. You have to learn to give. Time has gone. I've told you many stories. Time has gone. So when you give it out, it will come back. I can tell you how many pair of shoes I use my money to buy. And you know one simple reason. When people give me those shoes, if I wear it once or twice, I give it out. And I wear this, I just wear one maybe for 2 years. I'm fine. I saw someone criticizing someone yesterday. I said, how can somebody say he has only one watch or only one pair of shoes? I laughed. Or he's only wearing one pair of shoes. I laughed. I said, these people have not met people. Amen. He took my wife to deliver me. That shoe was cutting Bobby. You know Bobby Brown's Esther? But I loved it. I just loved the shoe. He said, but you have this one. I said, madam, this one knows me. You know when the shoe knows you? It just conforms when you enter and I'm moving. So for our sake, I say, okay, I will repent. But I can tell you that, yes, somebody can wear a pair of shoes for 10 years. I've seen a professor in here, you know, Etikopta's father. He's the only certain one that can know him. We call that guy Etikopta. The day his father brought out the receipt of his pair of shoes, I was shocked. I was in secondary school between 1986 and 1992. And my brother had the receipt, and the receipt was really 1963. For a pair of shoes I was still wearing. And I wasn't surprised. He had a Vauxhall. His Vauxhall was far better than my mother's Nissan Datsun. And in his house, he had a piano that he bought. He bought off somebody, the person bought it probably in 1943. And he still plays the piano. I'm saying that. So those kind of things, there's a tendency for you to have an emotional attachment to them. When Christ comes, things will change. Because he will show you that your attachment should be the kind of attachment that Christ had with his father. That is so much grieved when it became a point that he had to be severed from his father. And that was the only time he said, blessings, tongues, last week. Eli, Eli, what did he say? Saba, ma, lama. That's what he said. Eli, Eli, lama, sabachthani. My God, why have I forgotten? Why have you forgotten me? That's the only kind of thing you should grieve for. When there is a severance between you and God, which will never happen. See, all these things, cars, everything, they are ephemeral. they'll disappear. You don't get dissatisfied with the kind of car you're using. Abi? You get dissatisfied. Because, oh God, you have money, you'll be rich. Say amen. I saw a car 2 days ago. I was telling my wife yesterday. We should be having an election. That yesterday I spoke to my wife very well. We had enough time. I saw a car 2 days ago. When you enter that car in the back seat, and someone is driving you, when you press the button, a flash screen will come up. It will divide you. A flash screen. You'll be watching TV. Just press the button, it will just come up. If you want to increase volume, you don't need to press anybody. Just like this. Just wave your hand like this. Or like this. Amen. I suddenly got tired of this car. I don't like this car anymore. I know it's vanity. Let me drive it. Maybe once or twice. And then I give it to you. Abi? That's when we begin to get attached to these kind of things. Let it be that when you don't pray for 1 hour in a day, that or you miss it, you grieve so much that you're like, my God, I'm sorry. Let it be that if you don't minister the gospel, you grieve so much that you're like, my God, I will not do it again. Let it be that if you do not look for your neighbor according to his instructions, you grieve so much. Those are the things that add to us. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing. That's why I said, he said, you will receive 100-fold and eternal life. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and every other thing will added unto you. The first thing first. And that's what he told the rich young ruler. So some people, their target in life is just to be rich. When they become rich, what next? Problem. Let your target in life be to do the will of him that sent you. Let's rise on our feet. Let us talk to God this morning. We will change our environment, but we have to change it with him. Like I read in Message translation for you. It says that it's no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. Every chance in the world if you trust God to do it. Amen. All things are possible through him. Let us give him praise this morning. Thank him that you begin to see things in the same perspective as Christ sees them. Yes, though we are on this side of the divide, we do not belong here. We need to see things the way our Father in heaven sees them. That's when we're able to walk together. That's when our faith in him will grow. Hallelujah. And that's when we'll be justified because of our faith in Christ. God, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.